recall seeing my mother, not understanding the depth of what she was going through.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, former District 1 representative in the state of Florida, Florida House of Representatives. Congressman Hill, if you would hold for just a moment, I believe I have a call on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I'm going to tell you. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. You are definitely on point. If the questions do not come out, and hopefully our president will send Homeland Security, especially in the blue states, to make sure they cannot cheat.
Well, Kenneth, it is my prayer that Christians, conservatives, and patriots everywhere will recognize that the destiny of America is in our hands. We, the people, and particularly yes. Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we hold the future of our nation in our hands. If we fail to vote, we will lose our constitutional republic. I say that dogmatically. I say that without any equivocation. I say that without any ifs, ands, or buts. If we fail to vote, we're going to surrender our nation to the Islamics and to the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, so-called Democrat Party. That's on the fast track for that. That's part of what we'll continue to talk about today. But, Kenneth, I've had a number of people say, Dr. Youngblood, what should I do? How should I respond? We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. We need to confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. That's paraphrasing 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's what we need to do. And we need to vet the candidates. Look at the candidates, not based on what he says. I've been watching with great interest some of the candidates for governor in the state of Florida, some of their television ads that are total fabrications of truth, but made to look so real that the average Christian would look at it and think that it's okay. Go ahead with your question. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what. Our governor right now, that's the best governor I think we ever had.
Amen. Well, quite frankly, I say this, I'd like to see him be the 2028 top candidate for president. We've got some other good men, but I'm so satisfied with what DeSantis has done. That doesn't mean I'm 1,000% in agreement with some of the things that he's done, but I'm in agreement with his tenacity and his ability. But, Kenneth, thank you so much for your calling. God bless you as we keep looking up.
God bless you also. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Congressman Hill, one of the things that is on the agenda as I see it today that we're faced with the ballot box revolution, as I'm calling it, and secondly, should we trust our election? What about the Democratic Socialist of America? Tell me what you know about that. tell me, one of the things that's curious to me, what is it, in your opinion, that's such a magnet that's drawing so many younger Americans into the delusion that communism would work?
Well, it's outright ignorance, Dr. Youngblood, and it is it's a slap in the face of our education system, mm-hmm. and it shows the failure of our education system, our government-run schools, which are producing young people who believe that socialism and communism is the best way to go. And it's not. Socialism, they don't even understand what the terms mean, Dr. Youngblood. Mm-hmm. So they think that it means everybody should share and everybody should just get along and everybody should have fun. Socialism means the controlling of the means of production, taking over industries like they have done in Cuba, like they did in Venezuela, like they did in China and in Russia, and everywhere that they have done it, it doesn't work. Socialism then leads to communism, not only taking over the means of production, but controlling every aspect of your life. And for some reason, they think that if that is being done, we're going to have a more fair society. What they don't understand is you give up freedom when you do that. You're not allowed to make your own decisions. And if you don't make the decisions that the elites want for you, then you're punished for it. And what I believe, Dr. Youngblood, is that it is going to be nearly impossible for communism to take control of America. It has a foothold, but to take control of America, because the only way they can stay in power is by force. And the United States citizen has not turned in their arms, their right to bear arms. That Second Amendment is so valuable and so important, because in all the nations where communism has taken place, it is because they first disarmed the populace, where they could not defend themselves. Now, does that mean that we're safe? Does that mean that we can sit back and just be okay because we do have our... No, we don't want it to come to that. Why would you want to have to defend yourself from a police state when they come knocking on your door? We don't want that at all. So instead, what we need to do is continually fight back against the Democrats, fight back against the communists. And this isn't new, Dr. Youngblood.
That's right.
This has been going on for hundreds of years here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Ever since it took its root in Germany with Marx and Engels, and then in Italy with Gamansky. And then they tried to import that over here into America. It's a long battle, and we must not grow weary of the battle. And the reason we won't grow weary is because as Christians, we know that the battle belongs to the Lord, and He will fight for us.
Amen. In fact, that reminds me of Nehemiah, the 4th chapter, the 21st right-hand, right column in my Bible, where they were having to work with one hand and keep a sword in the other hand as they were working. And Nehemiah encouraged them. He says, "Our God shall fight for us." And I believe that's applicable today. If we stand for truth, if we stand for the centrality of the Word of God, if we stand for what God's Word says, I believe God will fight for us. Now, a question on that, and then we'll take our caller. But a question on the heels of that, Congressman Hill. I'm witnessing, just as in New York City, where an Islamic jihadist, socialist, Marxist, communist, is ruling the city. 8.5 million people, where Christians and Jewish people today are frightened to live in the city, where mega numbers are moving out of the city, mega billions of dollars are investment dollars are leaving the city. Is it possible that what we see in him, in fact, most of the other socialist, Marxist, communists that are running, and the Marxist, communist, Islamophobic, Islamic category say they've got about 1,100 candidates running across America today for every open office that's available in their cities and states and counties. Is it possible, this is a hypothetical question that I think you could answer, is it possible that we will see not a complete socialist nation, a revolution that will make America overnight communist, but are we witnessing the incremental city by city, state by state, county by county, that will wind up being socialist, Marxist, jihadist controlled, just as in Dearborn, Michigan? And right now with in Michigan, I'm looking at an article that says, in 2020, the Michigan State Police raided a Democratic Get Out to Vote organization, corrupt group in the state, and we're so concerned that what we found. This was an article now in 2023 about the election. The document states that some canvassers admitted to the FBI agents they signed over registration forms to other people's names, submitted fraudulent registration for people who did not exist, etc., etc. The FBI agent working on the case believed the crimes were committed, yet the Biden Department of Justice said to the investigators, kill the story. Trump then said on Thursday that he's bringing it back. Now, here's the point. Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson rebuked Trump's concerns, with Benson labeling them as statements as baseless conspiracy theories and insisting that Michigan elections, this is a present current statement, Michigan elections are secure, safe, and the results are accurate reflections of the will of the people. Now, with that being said, we know that's an absolute 100% lie. And right now in Michigan, we have dozens of Islamics running for additional office. And now Dearborn, Michigan is under control of the Islamic jihadists. New York City under control of the Islamic jihadists. And other cities around Dearborn are going total Islamic jihadist control. With that being said now, do you think it's possible that we'll see blue states, blue cities in America that will become Islamic jihadist, communist-controlled cities or states?
Yes, it is possible, Dr. Youngblood, if Christians do not go out and vote.
Yes.
It is vital for Christians to go out and vote to stop this. It will not happen if Christians will get up and vote. But if you do not, rest assured that the other side, the side of evil, they will go out and vote. And not only will they go out and vote, but they will cheat. And they'll pretend that they have more voters than they actually do. So Christians must get out and vote. And that's why the passage of that SAVE Act, and President Trump recognizes this, why it is so important that it get passed. The SAVE Act says that you must show ID, which identifies you as an American citizen, and that you can vote, and that voting will be completed on one day, and that there will not be these mail-in ballots except for the military, those who need it for medical reasons, and so forth. It's only a very small percentage. But otherwise, you have to get up on election day, go down to your precinct and vote. That's how we can make sure that there are secure elections. You know, Dr. Youngblood, even Governor DeSantis said that Florida had free, fair, and secure elections, and Florida did not.
Right.
There was cheating that was going on in Florida also. Now, it wasn't as predominant as we saw in some of the other Democrat-controlled states, but there was still election fraud that was going on. And we have to, not just at the governor, at the congressional level, we're talking, as you mentioned, Dr. Youngblood, down at the county, the city, school board levels. They will cheat at every level unless we as Christians get up and vote on election day. Don't just go yourself. Grab others who you know are Christians, who you know are a part of your church. Encourage them to go vote too. Now, maybe some of them won't vote the way you like. That's okay. We still need Christians to vote. When Christians come out in mass and vote, we cannot lose.
That's right. Congressman Hill, hold your thought for a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Jim, go with your question or comment, please.
Representative Hill, Dr. Youngblood, how are you today?
Doing well. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I 100% agree with Representative Hill whenever he was talking about communism and socialism and our youth. It's purely 100% ignorance. But I'd also like to put forward that there's a biblical caveat in there as well, and that is envy. Whenever you're coveting what is not yours, they're allured by that system that will give them something that they haven't worked for, and the basis for that strictly is covetousness. Would I like to have my salary right now and do nothing? Sure I would, but I know I can't. I have to work for it. And you as a pastor, you have to work. You know, you get paid a salary, and you preach the word. And Representative Hill, he sells insurance and financial advice. And we all do this for a price. And that price is to serve our fellow man and at the same time make for our own welfare. So those that espouse these ideas of fairness and equity obviously want something for nothing.
That's absolutely right. And Jim and Congressman Hill, let me ask you to hold just a moment and listen, and let me tie up some loose ends with thinking. I recently said on this broadcast that we have the millennial age group in particular that's anxious. They think the system is rigged against them because they've got PhDs from Dartmouth, Brown, Yale, Princeton, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, universities. And those PhDs, in some cases with research that was done, for example, I used arbitrary and capriciously, where they've done research on how does a red wiggler worm reproduce. And so they've got a PhD in that study, and it will not get them a job. So they're angry because they've got a PhD, but yet can't make a living, still living in mom and dad's basement with their social media accounts and TikTok, et cetera, et cetera. As a result of that, they're angry. They think that somehow, some way, the capitalistic system is wrong, that America has failed them, and so it's America's fault, it's the system's fault, and therefore we're going to embrace socialism, Marxism, communism. I get something for nothing. And I'm amazed that I said that several times in the past several weeks on the broadcast. Just last evening on the Jesse Waters show, it was either Jesse or Ingram, one of those shows, almost verbatim made that statement. So I told my bride, I said, somebody's listening to me that's repeating it on national television. So I'm thankful for that. But I believe that, Congressman Hill, and for Jim asking both of you the question, am I on target? Is that pretty much the case that we're seeing? You're talking about envy, and it's envy at the nth degree, just like Pilate recognized that Jesus was being charged because of envy. And nothing was done then about from the political standpoint to prevent it. Nothing seems to be done now. Congressman Hill, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. Jim, you're exactly right. It's envy that leads to a covetousness of what does not belong to you. You want to have something that you did not work for or earn. And Dr. Youngblood, you're exactly right. Exactly. No, I call it the ignorance of our youth who think that they can have something for nothing. It doesn't work that way. And it never will work that way. And they will have to learn that the hard way, as people have in other countries, such as Cuba, Venezuela, China right now, Russia, North Korea. When you look at the regimes that are in charge there, there's one word that describes them all, and it's evil. Mm-hmm. It is pure evil what they will do to their own citizens so that they can remain in power and live in luxury while everyone else suffers. And we see this now trying to take place in New York. I think Mandami is going to be a one-term governor. He's already proven that he cannot govern a city the way he wants to in his socialist communist manner. It doesn't work. And so he's going to be a one-termer, I believe.
It is my prayer that he is, but right now we're finding major exodus coming out and major, major concerns on the part of the Jewish people and the Christians that are there wanting to find some exit to make a move to get out from under that because of it. Now, Jim, thank you, brother, for your calling. God bless you, as we keep looking up. Congressman Hill, got just a short amount of time, but I've still got 100 things I wanted to ask, so we're going to try to squeeze in some of those. We're looking at now 5 candidates running for governor of the state of Florida. Do you have any thoughts? Have you done the research? Have you vetted the candidates? What are your thoughts? You don't necessarily have to name a single one, but what are your thoughts about the numbers? One of them, for example, that I'll bring to the surface is Fishback. Fishback is now in a court scenario where he's trying to keep his name on the ballot, and some have said it shouldn't be on the ballot because he was officially still a resident of D.C., where he had voted in the 2020 election in D.C. I believe it's the 2020 election, the 2021 election. What are your thoughts, and how should we view, what should Christians, conservatives, and patriots think? What should we look for in a candidate for governor of the state of Florida?
Well, I think one of the first things we have to look for, Dr. Youngblood, is their moral values. It was John Adams who said that our Constitution was made for a moral and religious, he meant Christian, people. It is wholly inadequate for any other. So you have to look at their moral values first. I served in the House with Paul Renner. I served in the House with Byron Donalds. I have personally met Jay Collins. Fishback, I haven't met at all. A lot of the other candidates I'm really unfamiliar with. And I'll say this, Dr. Youngblood. It's what we have before us, I'll just say, is slim pickings. I mean, my goodness, to run the entire state of Florida, the third most populous state in the nation, where our GDP is like 15th, I believe that's the number, 12th to 15th in the world. Being governor of Florida is a very important and huge job, and you would think, with the millions, hundreds of millions of people who live in Florida, that we could come up with someone else to choose to be our governor. That being said, that's who's on the ballot, and we're going to have to make our best choice. I get calls almost daily, Dr. Youngblood, of people saying, even though I'm no longer in office, who should I vote for? And I tell them, I said, well, I know who I'm going to vote for. You should make up your mind. And their response is, I don't know these people. And they don't know. And so the candidates, of course, know that. And that's why they rely on getting all this campaign money to send out flyers, mailers, radio, TV ads, to paint a picture of them, which may not necessarily be true, but because people don't know them, then they just have to accept of what's there. So I will admit, I haven't finally made up my mind yet who I'm going to vote for, but I'll tell you that I'm not leaning towards who is the current front runner. I'm just not. And so...
I agree with that.
Does that mean that my mind can be changed between now and then? Perhaps. But I haven't made up my mind finally. And when I do make up my mind, Dr. Youngblood, you can rest assured it's because I'm going to pray and ask the Lord. And He will guide me.
That's the key to it. And talking about the front runner, and I watched his high-profile Madison Avenue-produced ads on television. And he says, I'm going to protect you from your property taxes. He has not under his control. He can't do anything about it. The governor DeSantis couldn't do anything about it because he's got some rhino Republicans that rejected and rebelled and refused. And that's the reason there'll be options on the ballot in November where the citizens will. Listen, I think there's 3 different options that will be on the ballot in November about the property taxes. Once citizens vote a third, a third, a third here, or some here, some here. We will never get the 61% to be able to do anything with removing property tax in the state of Florida. You've got too many of the leaders, as right here in Duval County, that claims the city will go bankrupt if we don't have those property taxes and to keep that's increasing right. them. But that one on television that's running, that is the lead candidate supposedly now, he's going to stop the property taxes for the Floridians. He talks like he's walking on water and wears a halo, and he has dinner with Jesus each afternoon. And as a result of that, I'm a little bothered by it. Most of the things he says, I'm going to protect the Floridians. What's he going to protect us from? He's not done right. anything to protect us in his position in the U.S. House. So how's he going to do anything as governor for the state of Florida to protect us in the state of Florida? It's some diatribe that's being used that will influence many. And this is the reason I say, and I second the motion of what you've just said, we need to vet the candidate. That is, dig deep, find out something about the background, where they originated, what they've done in the past, if they've been in the civil government any length of time, what have they accomplished, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, most Christians will simply walk into the ballot box booth, wherever it is, and will look down any, meeny, miny, more, and check a ballot number or check a person and vote for that person. I believe it's time, Congressman Hill, that as Christians we take very seriously our civic responsibility as citizens of America. We have dual citizenship, citizenship in heaven and citizenship in America. We need to honor God in both citizenships, and one of those honoring God in the citizenship of America is to take our responsibility as citizens, vet the candidate, analyze what he's done, and cast the ballot. But too many times, and you correct me if I'm wrong, we have those that are the deep-pocketed movers and shakers. Oh, no, this person hadn't got a chance, so don't vote for him. This person can't get it, so let's don't vote for him. Rather than saying, he's a, how would you say, one that may not be able to win, but it's the best candidate. Let's vote for the best candidate. I believe that would make a difference. Congressman Hill, we've got about a minute. Close out our broadcast with a challenge to our listeners, especially Christians and conservatives, as to what we need to do right now between now and election time.
Dr. Youngblood, as you always say, and I agree, the first thing we need to do is pray. We need to pray. Ask the Lord for mercy. Ask him for forgiveness and ask him for wisdom and knowledge of how to proceed with these very important decisions that are going to be coming before us. And consider, who would you want to say is the person that is leading you, that is your representative? It has to be a person who is moral, a yes. person who does love the Lord, a person who has said that Christ is my Lord and Savior. All that is important. Everything else that they can say means very little.
Absolutely. Our time is up, Congressman Hill. Our time is up, but thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, join us next time on Let's Face the Issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's